Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this Maundy Thursday, the night in which our Lord was betrayed, is our epistle lesson. 1 Corinthians, the first letter that St. Paul wrote to that troubled congregation. Chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as indeed you are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. The leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. These are the words of the Lord, and so we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God knows we weren't built for a sinful world. Like the Hebrews in Egypt. Yeah, that was an example for us. That 40 years... We're kind of in our own 40 years, or however many you can count. The Old Testament church, the New Testament church, their time of tribulation, our time, the Great Tribulation, yes, we're in it. We've been in it since Jesus rose and was seen more. Well, at least not in that form. We behold him there. We behold him here with these. But we are like the Hebrews in Egypt. And God knows we weren't built to sin, but we are here like the Hebrews in Egypt. And we do get tired and scared and doubtful till the promised land can seem so far away. Like all there is. And sinning can seem like our only option. But Jesus is here. Did you know that? I mean, I think sometimes it's too easy to forget that. Jesus is here. What do you mean? Jesus is here. But where Jesus is, don't you know heaven is also close? He said, I am the door. Tell me, is a door in? Do you know the old Lutheran answer? Yes. Is the door inside or outside the house? Yes. So if Jesus is the door, is he inside the universe or outside? Yes. He's the door between nature, this old nature. This one that we kind of help corrupt. Between nature and high heaven. Through him alone, heavenly things come into the world. Namely, his word and spirit and sacraments. And through him alone, natural things go out to heaven. And this should surprise you, because it does me when you think about it. Natural things go out to heaven. Namely, you want a name on it? Pete? Kim? Steve? Yep, that's where we're going. Little sound effects with that. But that's the thing, the natural things. Because he became natural, he took on our flesh, and that's, we get to go too. That's an amazing thing. Because, you know, when they crossed over into the promised land, Moses didn't get to go. The law couldn't get to go over there, couldn't get us over there. It was the promise, not the law. It was It was Jesus, and it was the Jordan, if you don't know, that they crossed to get to the promised land. Jordan baptism, yeah, you can follow that, I hope. But all of those clues, all those things are there all the time for us, and they should, light bulbs should be popping on and off all the time. Natural things go to heaven, us, and the door is not somewhere way out at the edge of the universe either. It's not the Crab Nebula, some Mormon said once. No, it's not. Wherever two or three, in fact, wherever two or three have been gathered together in his name, the door is right there, right here, in fact, in the midst of us. In the same way, neither is he at the lowest edge of heaven either. It's not like he's in the gutter or he has to go to the bad side of town, you know, of Jerusalem, the Jerusalem in heaven. There is no such thing there. But no, while he is right here, he also ascends to the right hand of the Father. Highest heights. You know, the King James kind of adds a little bit more spice to that, you know. And we have some of the hymns, the old hymns that kind of bring it way up there too. But that's what we've got to think about. There's the door that opens right onto you and me. So it's both sides, you know. We don't go start out in Nazareth. You know, we get to start out in the center, Jerusalem, the temple, where it's, you know, the enormity of, if you've ever seen a picture of the temple, how God designed it, when Solomon finally built it, it was incredible to see. The only thing like it on earth, and it's gone because a better thing replaced it. He replaced it. A greater thing. And it opens. That door opens right here and right there to me and to you. Actually, here's the door that opens right on to the throne of God. The mercy seat. Grace. Forgiveness. Mercy. Healing. And the door is open night and day. Here and now, everybody who's in Christ in the world is not of it. See, we sort of have our foot in. We've been pulled in. We're not standing fully now on this side. We've got part of us on the other side. And in the heavenly places, while we're still in the world, we're partly there, because if you're standing in an open door, you are inside. Well, that's the question, right? Are you inside or outside? Again, yes. So one of the wonders of Holy Communion is that here's the door. Here's the door. It's unmistakably right here tonight in flesh and blood. And you know, in ELS congregations, and I probably there are other ones too, but you know this is a half circle. And you know the reason for that half circle. You know what's on the other side? It's because not only us, but also with those that have gone on before us. With heaven, we eat together. All of us. All of heaven and earth together. So that's sitting partly in and partly out too. For real. This is not just a symbol to teach. This is for real. This is what we believe, teach, and confess. To leave your seats and enter that door that opens to heaven, to him. And it will be closer in you and you and him together at that moment once again. Now I know that you know, for kids that they hadn't been confirmed yet, but I don't have to mention that here tonight. But they have touched also. Who haven't been instructed, but they've been also baptized, have already. And the thing is, don't be afraid, because you are invited. it won't be all that long if you continue in the faith that you too will be able to come up if the Lord does not come first. And then it won't matter because we'll all be eating at the same table on that day. Ever since you were, that's the point. You've been baptized into Jesus, right into heaven's doorway. And your Heavenly Father, His love is shining on you right now. That door does not close, even when you think it's closed, even when you can't see straight, even when you haven't realized that you've turned your back and you're no longer facing the light. That door still has not closed. But you who are going to receive, how can you not be afraid? Consecrated bread and wine before. And there's the body and blood of God. I don't do anything. He just promises to show up. He promises to give. I mean, consecrating, I mean, that's a strong word for a pastor to think that he does that. I don't do that. I just do what I'm supposed to. At baptism, I don't baptize. I'm just the water boy. I just say, see, this is him. He's bringing you in. I'm just connecting you. I'm like John the Baptist, you know. I'm the one of the groomsmen. I'm pointing you to the groom. But Luther shook and he spilled the wine. How can any of us not be afraid? This is the gate of heaven itself. And who dares come forward? Who dares to touch that with any part of us? I mean, we may kid ourselves anywhere else, but here, it's obvious that we're no better than any other sinner, worse, maybe worse. Worse than many. I mean, a real sinner, there really isn't any other kind, but I mean, when you understand a little bit more, when you see the reality of it, how can a real sinner come to holy, holy, holy? Imagine Isaiah in that temple when he heard it. He heard it from the angels, and the whole place shook, and he thought he was a dead man. Bethany College in their chapel had a pall for the altar. And it had it in Hebrew, and I suppose not many take Hebrew anymore, so they changed it, they put it in English. But it used to say, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy. And that was just, because it was in Hebrew, it had all that more to it. But how dare we think we can approach? But the Holy Spirit says, all has been made ready for you, for sinners like us. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. The only reason he came to do that was for you and I, for the worst of us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Let us keep the feast till sin is over and we enter all the way into those incredible heights that are waiting, that we every once in a while get a glimpse of through that open door that he cracks even more every once in a while. We get a glimpse. You ever had a little glimpse? The sky is just right after a thunderstorm. Maybe listen to a little bit of Bach. You get those little bits here and there that take you away, almost bring you there, it seems, at times. But like the Hebrews in Egypt, come morning, like the Hebrews in Egypt, come morning. This is why. This is what it's all about. Because the Hebrews in Egypt, come morning, we're leaving. But for now, we're like the Hebrews in Egypt. It wasn't just that they were in Egypt, but that there was so much Egypt in them. So that on that night when he, holy God, came down with death for that unholy country, Egypt, United States, Russia, you can throw any name in there. The Hebrews should not, no, they should have died like anybody else. Because we throw Israel in there too. But God made a way for sinners to live and not die that night. He told them to kill a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He said to kill a lamb, and on that awful day, it is better for one man to die than the whole nation perish. Behold, he told them to kill a lamb and paint its blood on the outside of their doors and then stay indoors till morning. That blood on the door was a sign for God to see. It meant, O holy Lord, we deserve to die, but look at the blood on the door and see. Death has already been here. The death of a lamb for me, for us. The blood on the door was a symbol of the blood on the door of who was coming. That night in Egypt, God saw the blood on the door, and judgment passed over those houses. I often wonder, and maybe one day we'll find out, how many friends of Egyptians, people they didn't want to see die, the Hebrews went out and painted their doors quick. I want to know how many people of Israel didn't believe it, and friends went and painted their doors anyway. I know in Luther's day that there were some midwives who baptized Jewish babies anyways. Is that legitimate? Absolutely. Not that we should do that, but hey, there was blood on that doorpost. God promised. Sure, you could still thumb your nose at God to the end, and that will count, and that will say, well, I'm going to close the door then. But that's different. Judgment passed over those houses. But now Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Right there, the true body and true lamb who died instead of us. So take and eat. And this Passover night, stand in the door that's wide open. How can you stand in the open door when the Holy God is right out there? Blood of the true lamb. Take it and put his blood on yourself, even in yourself. Take and drink. It means, Holy Father, I deserve to die, but look, death has already been here. Your son's death for me. And stand in the open door to the throne of God, the judge, and see that he says, I only see my son. I only see Jesus. And in the night, his song, me. Your father loves you. Your father loves you. There's no judgment here for any tired, scared sinner. Just Holy Communion. Remember the three on the mountain of Transfiguration? That cloud. They were out of their minds with fear. And they look up. And Jesus says, it's only me. It was only him. That was what was there, though. You want to see Philip, you want to see the Father? Don't you know you have seen me? You've seen the Father. There's no judgment here for any tired, scared sinner. Just Holy Communion with the Father Almighty in Jesus himself. Here. In the open door, here at the Father's throne, even while we're still in Egypt. The Holy Spirit says, celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Why? Because we're out of here come morning. The Hebrews ate unleavened bread their last night in Egypt. Why? Because there wasn't time to wait for bread to rise. They didn't have time for yeast. They ate their bread unleavened, and they ate it with their shoes on and their staves in their hands, because they were leaving come morning for the promised land. So are we. There's no time for the old yeast of malice and wickedness. There's no time to plan on sinning. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Scorn or lies or faking, we haven't got the time for them. We haven't got the time for them to rise up. There's just time for sincerity and truth straight from heaven into us, here where we need them, with the life of the place we were built for, coming into us here where we need it, straight from the throne through Christ the door, in which we stand both on earth and in heavenly places all through this passing night, here, right here, in Jesus, because he has never left. Where our Father embraces us ahead of time, here, because we are in his Son and he is in us. Where the Holy Ghost blows from paradise into our souls, here, because he is the Spirit of the Son, whom he has blown on us and into us. Do you remember all those dead in the desert that Ezekiel saw? God told him to call upon the four winds, and they lived. Adam was just, what? A pile of mud until God breathed into him life. And that word, ruach, in the Old Testament means spirit, and it means life. The Holy Spirit blows from paradise into our souls, and we live. We live a new life here while we kneel here, and the door that's open to heaven. And soon, very soon, we're going to walk right in. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds to life everlasting. Amen.